This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. Another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, we're going to start off this episode like we do each and every week, and that is by sharing one of you and your amazing spaces. And hey, I think the cool thing about this week is there's no one way to share a space. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week on our STR Share Sunday, we are sharing at Birmingham Treehouse.
So cute. She calls it a... Treehouse Community Center. Why is it so special?
First of all, it's a bed and yoga. It's not cute. A bed and breakfast. It's a bed and yoga. And it is in this amazing... It's not a treehouse. It's a mansion. And this is a Birmingham... The Birmingham Treehouse is a unique concept in the heart of the Magic City. A vivacious blend of hospitality and healing. An 1898 Victorian mansion newly renovated into a colorful and contemporary wonderland. An artistic oasis. I just want to say, if you build it, they will come. I just want the host name. Her name is Rennie, and I'm just like blown away at
her creativity.
I feel like she created this space specifically for her, and I love that. It has 5 unique guest rooms. There's yoga. There's therapy and counseling, events and retreats, and we just want to praise her for taking, you know, what was probably this concept in her mind and bringing it to life and opening her space. And so the biggest thing, you know, we talk about this all the time, is she has her website right on her Instagram. And we got to talk about her dog too. She highlights her puppy trees a lot. But we just really like that she has been bold in her pursuit of what she wants her property to be. It seems like she's unapologetic in who she wants to host, how she wants to host. And we wish her nothing but the best. But if anything, go to her Instagram at Birmingham Treehouse and you'll be inspired. And I'm sure she'd be open to, you know, answering any questions. Because this mansion is absolutely gorgeous also. So we just want to say shout out to Birmingham Treehouse. We love what you are doing and we can't wait to stay.
And thank you so much for using our hashtag. It's hashtag STR Share Sunday. We are scouring Instagram to share your short-term rentals with all of our listeners on the podcast. But it is now time to hop into the show. And this week, Who do we have?
We've got Will Slickers.
All right. He is the creator of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, and Good Morning Hospitality, and co-founder of Recreation Rentals, a boutique rental management company based in the Pacific Northwest, but with aims of a global reach. And we'll talk all about that. There's more information coming on that soon. He's working on that currently. But actually, we listeners, I don't know if any of you are on Clubhouse. And how would you describe Clubhouse?
Audio social media.
Oh, that's so good. And then I've been toying around with it. And we've been, of course, popping into any short-term rental, Airbnb, whatever room we can find ourselves in. And we keep hearing Will talk the talk that
he's
spitting
some knowledge. He's spitting some knowledge.
Yeah, but it's not just any kind of knowledge. It's hospitality-focused knowledge. Will, we have so much to talk about in terms of where you've been, where you are, where you're going. Welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. You guys are legends in the podcasting space, especially in hospitality.
Say it again.
I'm just joking. Will, tell us, tell everyone, and because Sarah and I are excited to dig in. We want to hear your wisdom. I mean, you're very young, just a young chap in the hospitality world. But tell us, you've already had this amazing career. Give it to us. Tell us where you started, where you're going.
Yeah. Well, long story short, I've always loved people, but never figured out like where that love or passion like belonged. I was like, oh, I should try this. I should try that. So I was a event manager for Cascades Harley-Davidson, which was out here in Washington State. So I did all the events and marketing and stuff, and I loved it. But when I left the city of where I was working, I went to Spokane, Washington, and started a chauffeur and event company. Thought I would try to combine the two. But little did I know, this little thing called Uber was coming in. And it's really hard to compete when you have a great app that will do some chauffeur style services right away.
Oh.
So after a year of having that business, I closed it. I had a lot of overhead, made a lot of mistakes. I was like 19, 20. So just kind
still
of figuring
hospitality.
Out like,
that's interesting. Very hospitality based.
And it didn't click with me until after I closed the business, my friend was like, you got to get a job. Go like work at the car wash or something. I was like, I'm not doing car washing. Heck no. I got this nice suit that I was chauffeuring people in a car with. I've got to put to use. And so I remember picking people up at this hotel called the Davenport Grand. It was an autograph collection with the Marriott International. And I just loved the ambiance, loved the feel in the lobby. And I was like, I'm going to work there. And I applied, got interviewed on the spot, got hired on the spot. And that is where my journey of loving hospitality came from. I can go into more details, but all in all, that's the origin.
What did you get hired to do originally at the autograph, though? What was your position that you were hired on the spot for?
Can you take a guess at all, by any chance?
Ballet?
Like if you had to pick...
Ballet?
No.
Oh.
Front desk.
Okay. Front desk.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So the question during the interview, he was, have you ever worked at a hotel? And I said, I have no hotel experience. And so he's like, well, how are you with people? My manager, Eric, we're still friends to this day. And I said, I love people. People will always be like a passion of mine. I'm great with them. I'm seventh child of seven. I come from a big family. So like, I like people. And he was like, okay, how are you with tech? Or like, how are you with, like software? I'm like, I'll need some help, but I'll pick it up. And that will be, just a couple of days and we'll be off and running. And he's like, okay, good. If you answered that incorrectly, which was, I'm not good with people, he said, you wouldn't have gotten the job. But he's like, I can't teach you how to take care of people, how to like have that passion. I can teach you how to do the other stuff. So that was really where we started taking off. I was checking people in. That hotel had like 716 rooms, 60,000 square foot of event space, two bars, two lounges, all this kind of crazy stuff. And on the second day, I think we had like 500 check-ins and I was thrown to the wolves.
Oh.
And we were
500. If you still love people after that first day, I think you're it. My head is spinning. Your second day, there were 500 check-ins.
Oh, yeah. My
manager, did you even know how to answer questions?
He's like, I'll do all the talking with the guests. You just do the software stuff.
Okay.
And like, listen to me. And I was like, okay. So he was like, all right, what's your name? And like, I just did every step by step as he talked. And then I picked up my own script and was like, okay, this is how you do it.
Okay.
And after, 2.5 years of doing that, it was quite the learning experience, but I got quite good. I guarantee I can probably go back to that property right now and check people in like I've never left.
But you I'm sure you logged your, you know, or close to your, whatever they say you need, how many hours become?
It's 10,000 hours.
Okay. Maybe not that much.
But. Ooh, so I have two and a half so many years. Questions about.
Did you stay behind the desk the entire time?
Yeah, I did float a little bit to help out. So valet, room service, a little bit of F&B, kind of the bar, but really kind of stayed behind the front. That was my zone. I loved that area. I had a great team. So we just like, it was kind of like that family, like you would check in or not check in, but clock in. And we just had a great, great cruise. So it was like, I don't know, I would always got there early. I was there like 2 hours early every day just to like hang out and just be part of this team. Yeah.
You
so
love
it was fun.
People.
It was a good team. Yeah.
All right. Well, what made you leave? You're loving it there.
Yeah. So that's the good thing. Like, so Gren, still great friends, would go back there any day to say hello and say hi to everybody. But long story short, I was hungry. Like I wanted to learn more. I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Obviously not checking people in, but I want to be in hotels or hospitality in some shape or form. And at that type of capacity with, you know, check-ins and check-outs and everything like that, it's hard to get one-on-one time with management or anybody in a higher position to learn what ADR is or RevPAR or all the back-end operational stuff. And so that was kind of my big reason. I was like, well, I have this entrepreneur itch, but I really want to learn more about like hotels and hospitality. I want to go somewhere on like the boutique side. I know the Marriott side very well. I knew the standards. I knew the rewards program. I knew all the back end stuff about that. So I went to Seaside, Oregon, where I actually grew up going on vacation and remembered, like had a bunch of memories. And I was like, I want to learn the boutique side. And I started managing a couple boutique luxury properties. I had some restaurants and a brewery and a few other little things like that. And just kind of wanted to get my feet wet on the independent operator side.
Was that boutique owned by just one operator or was it a group?
Yeah, it was one owner. So one owner and his wife, which the parents, her parents founded the company and named one of the hotels after her. You probably maybe have heard of it. The Stephanie Inn is in Cannon Beach. Mm-hmm. It's a really iconic like luxury property. Like Lady Gaga stayed there. Mm-hmm. I've checked in James Cameron, the producer,
give
director.
Us more, yeah. Person.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a great property. Very beautiful.
Did you have that job lined up before you left the Marriott?
I did. Okay. Yeah. So I interviewed. I drove out there for a weekend. They you know, gave me a room to stay and meet the team and interview all the managers and stuff like that. And then I jumped over probably like a month later and just kind of said, screw it. They had a employee housing. So I was like, I got 3 months where I could figure out like go get an apartment or like find a condo or something like that. And then really get my sink my teeth into the area.
Right. What was the biggest shock from going to Marriott to a boutique, you know, individually owned?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The I remember the first one for me, like I'm a suit and tie guy. Like I love to dress up and feel good and like, you know, the clean haircut, military haircuts, my kind of like my feel. I don't like it when it gets past a certain length. The beach life is very different.
Yeah.
It's so slow. It's so slow. And like people are very relaxed and kind of like, instead of saying my pleasure, like, oh yeah, anytime, man, like whatever. And I'm like, oh gosh, like this is not what I'm used to. So that was like the hardest take. I had to like slow down my roll because I was go, go, go. Mm. And beach life is not that way. Everyone's kind of like go, go, go to get to the beach. But once they're there, they're very chilling. Chill.
No, yeah. That's interesting because I've never thought about where you're hosting. You really need to give the vibe of the area, you know, because that's mm-hmm. what they're, it's not only the property that they're expecting those vibes from, they're expecting those vibes to match what they're looking for in their stay. That's, that is interesting to think about.
That was the hardest adjustment for sure.
That was not what I was getting ready to expect you to say. I thought that was going to be resources or something like that, but, that's a great point. All right. So, you're there at the Stephanie and with that group. Are you still there? What are you doing now?
I'm not. So long story short, there was going some management changes through the company. So I actually, me and the owner are still great. Ryan, if he ever listens to this, would love to hear the show. But I went to another property, different ownership, different group. started off as a like manager on duty, kind of like supervisor position. And then the manager of that property actually left. So I took over and ran that for about a little over a year and a half. And it was a 70 unit, all condominium suite hotel. So it was like, take your average like one bedroom apartment to two bedroom apartment and put it into a hotel that has a front desk and a lobby and all that good stuff. Did that. This was a weird time because when I moved to the beach, I started the podcast, Slick Talk. And that was because I was listening to Tony Robbins and Gary Vee. And they were like doing an episode together on YouTube and like, hey, idiot, wake up. If you have an idea about a podcast, freaking do it. There's a $20 mic on Amazon and you can get on anchor.fm and upload your podcast right then and there. And it costs you like $5 to get an intro and outro from Fiverr or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And I've always had like that Slick Talk like concept in my head. I was like, oh, it's TED Talk, but I'm slicker, so I'll do Slick Talk. But I was like, I got to keep it hospitality focused because I love hotels. And I was still like, when I left the Marriott, it was kind of like that reach of, I want to learn. And so I was like, I'm going to use the podcast to be my tool of learning. And hopefully I'll just like learn with my audience if I ever built one.
Yeah.
Didn't think anything of it, to be honest. So it was just like playing with it. Had like two listeners pop up and I was like, yeah, I got two listeners. So it was exciting. And so when I went to the 70 unit condominium hotel, the podcast really started getting busy. Like I had a repeat guest who came on. We did a 3-episode series, started getting a lot of like the listenership started going up and up, and then inquiries like, hey, can I be on the show? Can I be on the show? Can I be on the show? And I was like, okay, as a manager at a hotel on salary, you're at the hotel all the time. And then like my side hustle, which was my passion, was really taken off. And I was like, okay, I don't know where to find the time to do all this. Mm-hmm. And so slowly but surely, I was building another business for a management company, starting a vacation rental management company, doing the podcast and trying to manage a hotel. So I was very busy. But long story short, I got to the point where I was like, okay, my side hustle income is now outweighing my salary. So that's when I kind of weighed out my options and figured I need to pull the trigger. It's either sink or swim. And so I saved up a certain amount of money that I need to save. I made all my plans and I gave about 3 weeks notice, mm-hmm. and said, I love you guys, but I'm going to go do this. And they all supported me and, you know, waved off goodbye. And my last day was December 27th, 2019.
Okay. Right. Nice. And you're still doing it. We're here in 2021. All right. Love it. What were your initial first episodes of your podcast about in the hospitality world? What were you wanting to focus on? Like, if we were to dig in, Will Slickers, what is your message? Like, what do you want people to know about hospitality? Mm-hmm. What's your drive? What was your passion behind that you were really wanting to get out to the airwaves for your audience or potential audience?
Yeah. See, that's like a hard question for me because I didn't even know at the time. I didn't know what my sound was. I was just kind of playing with it. I was listening to a couple podcasts and I was like trying out different styles like on how they talked about whether certain topics or industry news. So I tried being like an industry news podcast for like an episode. It was like the top like places to visit during Halloween. And I was like, I hated it. I was like, this sucks. Like, this is not what I wanted to learn or do. And so eventually I kind of just stuck with the interview style and it was interviewing experts. So mm-hmm. whether I'm not like an expert or not, or whether I was an expert or not, I wanted to interview those who did have really extensive background and really cool stories and knowledge of operations in all areas and start to kind of like learn with that. And that was kind of my goal. So the podcast mission was really to create content that was valuable that people could feel like they're connecting with, but then also feel like they can take away and either apply to their job or wherever they're at in the industry.
Sure. Okay. So what do you think that short-term rental operators, what can they learn from hotels and vice versa? What are some important lessons there?
Yeah. So this is really fun. And I think you guys have had Jeremy Gall from Breezeway on the show or mm-hmm. talked about them in some way or form. I'm pretty sure I did my little research before this episode. And the thing I think that operators can learn from hoteliers or vice versa is that hotels have really done it well when it comes to standards. Like if you go to a Courtyard in Washington and you go to a Courtyard in Florida, you're going to pretty much expect the same thing. Maybe a little bit different property or layout, but you're going to overall have the same quality across the board, which is really comforting for a traveler. When you stay in an Airbnb or a host home, you don't have that consistency, which is fine because we're all very unique in our, like you were just talking about the Sunday. Forgive me, what is it, the Sunday?
STR Share Sunday.
Yeah. So like what she was doing is building a unique experience and creating something that nobody else is probably doing. So it's like, that's the one difference. But what we're seeing that, especially through COVID and all this craziness, is that hosts are now like pretty much evolving to managers, which managers are creating systems and standards and processes that really keep it really professional. But then you can kind of expect, okay, if I stay at a Sonder, I'm going to stay at a Sonder that's pretty similar everywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's a little different when it comes down to like, person who has like maybe 10 properties or 20, but all in all, you kind of get the same idea that they're going to have great linens, some kind of smooth check-in process, great branding, all the other stuff that you kind of expect from a hotel. So that's kind of like a long story short to answer your question. That's one thing I think hosts can learn from hotels is creating standards and processes and brand for sure.
Yeah.
And then what do you think that hotels can learn from us though? What do you think they're a kind of a missing
flexibility.
Link there?
Flexibility. They need to be flexible with inventory. They need to be flexible with how they operate. For so long, it used to be, this is how we've done it the last 20 years. This is how it's always going to be. And then COVID hit and we saw that didn't really work for those people. And so really getting creative on how we market, how we communicate with guests, how we are with check-in and cancellations and virtual credit cards and all this other craziness and getting on like platforms like Airbnb and so on and so forth. So I think it's just flexibility all in all. And using rooms for different things than just sleeping, right?
Right.
We have hotels in Chicago that are creating podcast studios. Like legit, I have a room. Like you can go rent it during the day and then even stay the night, like get a combined package or right. do like a rental floor for an office. Like there's so many new things now. And so I think flexibility is really the thing that hotels can learn.
I didn't know about the podcast studios. That's very interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I want to look into that. All right. So back to what short-term rental hosts can learn. So it sounds, obviously, Sarah and I are in complete agreement and alignment with you. How do you feel like the rise of professionalism, though, in the short-term rental market? I mean, are the guests going to start becoming more discerning through the bookings and looking at the listing? What do you think that guests are going to be looking for in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. So like I'll reference Breezeway and my friends at Hostfully right now because they did a bunch of industry studies. And like we found out, 2020, what were people like really looking for when they're staying in a short-term rental? It was cleanliness and quality. So like they wanted to make sure that the cleaning procedures were up to a hotel, if not better, and that everything was being taken care of when it came to that. And so now we've seen with the new study come out, there's a big survey going on that people were super hyper-focused on cleanliness and quality control of the property. And then they weren't so concerned about rate. But now it's flipping. We've been in the pandemic for almost a year. So where now people are kind of getting less concerned about quality and cleanliness, not because they expect lower standards, but because that standard has now been set.
Become a norm.
And so now they're focusing on rate. It's like, okay, this is a new standard. This is what everyone else can meet. And so we're expecting this, nothing but this. And so that's why I think the survey results are kind of dipping. But I think that's when it comes for hosts to really understand, it's like, okay, you're really putting in proper procedures, checklists. Like I will always be a fan of checklists because you can never go wrong. You have to go through it multiple times, add through it, adjust, and make sure that your checklist is, meeting these standards and needs. That's kind of like the biggest thing I've been seeing lately.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing anything or hearing conversations amongst those who are tapping into data in terms of what travelers might gravitate towards as we get either deeper in this pandemic or life obviously is changing? Is it hotels or is it short-term rentals or is it really just, depend on the traveler?
It really depends on the traveler. Like it's such a hard like debate right now too, because you have those people who are diehard loyalty member program people. Like myself included, I'm like a gold member I think I'm a gold now. I lost my platinum status with Marriott, but I'm a gold member. And like, if I can stay in a Marriott, I'm going to pretty much do that. But if I'm like going with my girlfriend or maybe some family, I'm definitely going to go in STR. Mm-hmm. Just because obviously space. So it really depends on like what the trip's for. But pre-COVID, 70% of travelers didn't even know about places like, or not even know, but never have stayed at an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Like never stayed at a property that's been hosted or being managed by a professional company. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're seeing a shift because in the beginning, you didn't want to go into an elevator or a lobby and wait for your keys and like do all this stuff with other people around from all different areas. You're like, heck mm-hmm. no, like germs and crazy COVID stuff. So I think right now we're going to be seeing a shift. I think we're going to really be seeing, obviously, it's kind of hard to, I can throw so many things like Accor and Marriott getting into the vacation rental game and all this other stuff. But I think we're really going to be seeing a shift of people trying to find that sweet spot. And I know we kind of talked about pre-recording, but hybrid. It's like hybrid property, like apart hotels, condominium hotels, Airbnb, short-term rental focus, but give that kind of space of a whole home rental. I think that will be kind of a unique and interesting trend that we'll see probably play out throughout the pandemic and if not beyond the recovery.
And I think also what you just said about people have never even experienced an STR, that's what's so great about it is now once people have experienced it, it's like we've ripped the Band-Aid. You know, something that might have taken decades was done in a very short amount of time generationally. You know, like there are people in all demographics that we've all been touched by this, but that's also cool because now people are all willing to experience new things. And I think that should be exciting for anyone that's listening that's a host that we've now had, like the floodgates are going to be open to people mm-hmm. that are excited to stay mm-hmm. in a short-term rental versus a hotel. So I do like what you just said. I've always wondered, and I think we even talked to Chip Conley about this. I wish that short-term rental, like for instance, Airbnb had a loyalty program.
I
think that's a
It's coming.
Yeah, Chippy. Even Chip said that was something, you know, they were working on so many things, you only had to focus. I was like, oh my gosh, that would be for loyalty purposes because like I'd never thought about it until you just said like people are so loyal to those points programs. Like mm-hmm. they plan their vacations around that. And points. So, that's exciting. I can't wait until that launches.
Now, this maybe not be fair on Will because we did not prep him for this, but question Will, get excited. We love Airbnb. It's always going to be a tool for us, but we do stress the importance of having your own land and using Airbnb as a tool, not as a business builder necessarily for your short-term rental business. Is there a way for an affordable way for smaller hosts, so we're not talking about the Saunders and the bigger people out there, to have a loyalty program other than, you know, collecting email addresses, giving out their own special deals to have them come back? You know what I mean? Or is that it? Is it just like tapping into your guest and making sure that you're not just letting that guest check in and check out and not have any other information on who they are, why they're there, and if they know anyone or if they're going to come back at any particular time?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I think it's so hard because when you're at that independent small, like I use my parents, for example, all the time. They just have like a small two-bedroom, two-bath apartment above their garage that they rent out. And they have, you know, the house separate and 5 acres. And they just kind of let the guests do what they want.
Do they have high standards there, Will? Have you helped them with their standards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me. Trust me. This was like 6 years ago when they started it. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're making this like a hotel. So it's going to be good. Yeah. So, but I think right now what we're seeing, and I kind of mentioned earlier, is that the hosts are now changing into property managers. They're professionalizing. Mm-hmm. And I think right now it's really going to be focusing. This is what I preach to people on Clubhouse or to people on podcasts or behind the scenes with our clients when we're managing properties is that you want to create a destination. You want to create a brand. This is what's going to set us really apart. Versus that person who's just like, I'll throw out my extra room or my extra property on Airbnb and see how it goes. You really, like you said, build your own brand and equity because yes, Airbnb is a great channel, has tons of traffic, but it will, like we saw in April, go pretty quickly. Like all your revenue on the books would be gone. And it's no diss to Airbnb, but like at the end of the day, you have to take control back. And so getting creative, I always think the short-term rental industry has done this a lot better than hotels. And the hotels kind of failed to look around the 5 blocks around them. So whether they failed to work with the local coffee roaster or work with the local person who or farm that has like bees and hives and all this other crazy stuff to like embed that into the operations, hosts and short-term rental operators do that amazingly well. And so I think creating a destination, getting these perks, getting the community involved, that's what's going to set you apart. And then, of course, being a little tech savvy, you don't have to have a direct booking site directly. Like it says, I think you should, but it doesn't mean you can't capture stuff like in emails, phone numbers, right, and create some kind of guest loyalty. You can use all sorts of other things like guidebooks and smart Wi-Fis and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, you want to build a brand, you want to tell your story, you want to get personalized. The Sunday STR, sorry if I butcher that again. She's like showing her dog and like creating, like building something that she wants to go to. Mm-hmm. And then like, hopefully there's another traveler just like her coming out. And that's going to be the case, is you're building a destination like that. And so that's where I think short-term rental operators can really go to build that loyalty, so to speak, because the moment you create a great experience or great memories for someone like that, that's your loyalty program.
This is a little off topic, but Sarah and I were
the worst.
We were really interested in this, and I'm sure some of our listeners would be also. So in your bio, we know that you have a certification in hospitality and revenue management from Cornell University. Mm-hmm. Tell us, like, was that something that Marriott, like you did while you were at Marriott? I know some of our listeners might be interested in participating in that. Was it cost effective? Was it time effective? Would you encourage short-term rental hosts to look into that? Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because we're interested in what that meant for you.
No, for sure. Well, when I was managing the condominium hotel in Seaside, I had to be in the revenue management side. I had to be in sales. I had to be in all these places, departments that I wasn't really quite used to. But I found like I had a really good act for revenue management. I had a good eye for seeing patterns and trends that I could adjust my rates and execute and get. Like, we broke our profit and revenue records 6 months in a row. And it was kind of crazy. So maybe that had to do with the economy was really good in 2019, or we just had a badass team. I don't know. a combination of both. And so for the time of that, when I did the Cornell training, it was about, I think, 5 months I was doing it online. It's virtual. It's the UCornell program. The original class is like 3,500, and I got it for 25 just because of military background. So they did a GI Bill deduction thing.
Cool.
And so pretty cost effective. It's kind of learn at your own pace, except for you have like a deadline. Like, so let's say course one goes about 2 weeks. You have to make sure you get all your stuff done within that 2 week time frame so the professor could grade it. But I felt like it was really cool because it gave me the fundamentals that I was already doing at my job, but just gave me like another perspective, but more groundbreaking, ground building tools and structure to it. For hosts, I recommend actually going to hotel.school. They actually just came out with a short-term rental program. Mm-hmm. So like distribution and connectivity and marketing and revenue management and all these other things, even tech, the former CEO of Operto and Simon Lehman from AJL Consulting and a few other people really just went all in developing this course to help hosts and property managers kind of professionalize and get certifications that they can apply to their business. So that would be my like go-to resource.
Yeah, cool. And we'll make sure that we have those in those links in the show notes for everybody. Okay,
yeah.
I might botch this, so bear with me. Can you tell us about the Destinationaire Awards?
You did so good with that.
Okay, all right,
good job.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Destinationaire Awards kind of came from the pandemic. So where I don't even know where to begin. I was on COVID-19 orders for the National Guard, so I was running all the test sites in Washington. And when I was doing this, I was thinking about I was in my hotel room working, doing the podcast, doing all this. But the thing was like, there's a lot of people, a lot of companies that get the spotlight very often. And granted, they're great companies. I love working with them and like seeing them, you know, get the recognition they deserve. But I was like, what about the managers? What about the properties, people like on the ground that are cleaning toilets, washing the laundry, checking them in, making sure people are safe and not feeling like freaked out about COVID. And trying to like save their business, really, all in all, like just really putting their head down and going. And I was trying to think of like, okay, there's plenty of words that maybe can be described on what this is, but these are people that are creating destinations, creating memories, moments, but also doing that standard professionalism like aspect to it. And so, you know, we all know of millionaires, billionaires, whatever. I was like, well, okay, what can like go, what could be a good word?
Ah, got
I was
it
like,
now.
I love like destination. I was like, ah, it's such a cool word for me. And so I was like playing with that destination air kind of came out. And one of my mentors actually commented on an Instagram post, the definition, which is people that are wired to create remarkable experiences that are anticipated and shared. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I use that definition is because even in hard times like COVID, where people are trying to save their business or provide excellent service, or even just continue on the passion that they have for the industry, they're wired to create. These are people that are coming up with the coolest concepts, the coolest branding, the coolest properties and experiences that are anticipated and shared. And even during times like this, we know our guests are anticipating a great stay, an awesome experience, and then they want to share that. And so that's kind of the whole Destination Award concept. And so we sought out to showcase them. And 13 industry sponsors picked up the awards that we want to give back. And so we had a bunch of companies give like guidebooks or cleaning certifications or, you know, free consulting hours and all this other stuff. And we, within the first like hour of launching the award nomination opening, had 50 nominations from around the world, South Africa, Italy, Spain, London, wow, all over the US. And it was just incredible to see people recognizing their peers for the great work. And so that's kind of the whole point. We just want to give back and showcase those who don't get the spotlight as often.
Sure. So where can our listeners find more about that specifically? Is there a website or?
Yeah, so there's a website. It's on my website, but it connects to the Destination Air Club. So okay, anyone who wins and gets nominated becomes part of the club. But long story short, it's destinationairclub.com, or you can find it on Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast as well.
Okay. And is that something that's going to be annual?
Annual, yeah. So this year I'm not trying to like spill the beans or like even, what would you say, jinx myself.
Okay.
But we're trying to do a hybrid award ceremony. So like in person, but also virtual if we can. So this year, August 2021, we're hoping to be in Chicago at the Gray Hotel. If not, then, well, you'll catch us everywhere on Facebook, YouTube, and everything else.
Gotcha.
And that's the goal.
You said something in passing, poor Will, we didn't talk about this before we started recording, but
on the fly,
Will, do you have any insight or any, the scoop on hotels getting into the short-term rental game? What do you know? Tell us everything you know.
I can tell you this. I know with Marriott that they've been doing this homes and villas program for about almost a little over 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to do is, one, provide a service for their Bonvoy members. So, of course, keeping that brand loyalty across the board. But what they've done actually, instead of just buying a bunch of homes or apart hotels or whatever, they're finding the professional managers that are already doing this at a standard that they are like, yeah, this replicates our hotel standards, our brand standards. So like they're pretty much seeking out for all these professional managers to then put onto their platform and open up a floodgate. And so what I can tell you is that I've seen a property management companies that maybe like 50 to 100 properties under their, if not more, under their umbrella. They show their like direct booking, ADR and occupancy. They have their Airbnb, their booking, their Vrbo, and then there's the home and villa category. And granted, the home and villa category is not being booked as often as Airbnb because Airbnb has like millions and billions of people on there. But the ADR from homes and villas is significantly higher. Like you, let's say you charge $155 a night, and that's what you're averagely getting across all channels. Homes and villas, you're seeing about $350, maybe $400.
Wow.
But not the amount of occupancy. But it's just because guests, the different type of traveler that you're getting with that Bonvoy program, mm-hmm, they're willing to pay a little bit of premium for a professionally ran, you know, short-term rental property and be a part of that, earn them points. So that's what I could tell you for that side. Accor acquired, you know, One Fine Stay, which is pretty significant. So we'll see what comes out of that. I'm not quite sure yet. Hopefully more to come. But yeah, it's pretty interesting to see that they're saying, well, there's already people out there doing it. We're not going to try and like destroy this industry. We want to be part of the industry.
I think that's smart.
They kind of just want to see at the table. And so I think that's a smart move on their part.
Do you know if hosts or property managers, can they reach out to Marriott about the program, or is Marriott hands picking this. Okay. So they could reach out if they were interested.
Yeah.
Worth a try, right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. There's a whole criteria application that you have to fill out and kind of meet. If you don't meet it, they probably won't reach out in time or within a fast amount of time. Mm-hmm. But I also know that they're kind of always scouting and vetting. And if anybody's interested and wants an intro, I would be happy to do that if they feel like they meet the qualifications.
Ooh, listeners, yeah. Jump on that.
I have a fun question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I also have a background in a hotel. Like I worked at a hotel. And going through what we did with COVID, it felt easier to me when I had like this big structure behind me, i.e. the hotel to lean on those standards. And it was like this big bad hotel said that these are our standards, these are our rules. And I'm so sorry, guest, you know, we cannot, this is what you've signed. When you're solo host, it feels like the guest kind of feels like they know that you don't have a big bad, you know, brand behind you to enforce those. It's just you. It's just you, the host, the owner. Over this past, you know, almost a year, like you said, have you picked up any tips or tricks on how these smaller short-term rental managers and hosts, 1, 10, 15, even 20, 30 properties can come up with policies and confidently stick with them? Or is that the flexibility you're talking about that is making short-term rentals stand out for the travelers in terms of, you know, their policies? Does that make sense? Is that was a little long-winded?
Yeah, 100%.
But, okay.
No, and I think that's such a good question because at the end of the day, I think the flexibility part is really, really great. But having those policies and procedures in place and just kind of there really does help because you can find these out just by common questions that you get, common situations that happen with your guests that stay at your properties. This is how they are built, is through kind of like live and learn. It's like, okay, well, this didn't really work out. So I got to make sure I note this in my listing, or I got to put this in my house rules, or blah, blah, blah. And that's how they're built. And so creating it and being understanding, be like, okay, this is like a normal standard, but that one-off situation, let's say Aunt Becky brought her dog and didn't tell anybody and then everyone's too scared to tell you and all this other stuff. Like, okay, you might probably have to be a little flexible, but at the end of the day, as long as it's listed and you list it and you're clear and transparent about all this stuff, then you have that backing and you have that ability to really say, hey, well, that wasn't great. We don't allow pets in our property. It's listed in our listing. It's listed in our house rules. It's kind of on the terms and, or not kind of, it's on the terms and services that you agreed to when you book. So I'm sorry, but we do have to put in a $50 deposit or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's really good to have, I think, just being able to have that in place to protect yourself first, but then trust your gut when that situation comes about and just say, you know, do we want to be flexible? Is it worth being flexible to get that review and possibly have them come back in the future? Mm-hmm. Or were they just a super bad headache that I wouldn't want this guest at any of my properties ever again? Right. So really trusting that feeling and understanding, like, you're like, trust me, I've learned so many times the wrong way, the hard way. And so it's okay to trust that and just build and build and build. And over time, you'll eventually be like, I've seen it all, heard it all. You know what to do. You know where to reference it. All that good stuff.
Right. No, that's great.
Yeah.
I feel like you probably have experienced this a ton because I have not worked at a hotel and I'm interested in how hotels handle this because I feel like one of the most frequently asked questions the short-term rental is, can I check in early? I'm getting in early, or can I check out late? And when it's one property, it's a lot different than a hotel that has multiple rooms. So how can we help short-term rental hosts answer that question by leaning on some advice from hotels? Is that just as frequent at hotels?
Oh yeah. Hotels, from my management experience and like even helping out my parents and a few other friends and family, like we've never actually gotten that question often. Like it's rare that I'll have someone say, hey, can I have an early check-in? Really at the end of the day, most short-term rental guests, travelers, they understand like there's house rules. Like this is a person's home usually. So they're not as pushy as they are with hotels. Hotels, it's like people check out will be at 11. You got people there at 10:30 saying, all right, ready to check in. It's like, we're 100% occupancy. Like we haven't even cleaned your room yet. Nobody, there's somebody's still in there. You're more than welcome to go join them. Just kidding. But yeah, it's constant. Like the guests, I think with one building having so many rooms, That's the thing, is like occupancy at a short-term rental, once it's booked, it's 100% occupied. Versus a hotel, you have 30% occupancy out of 700 rooms. All right, cool. 300 rooms are, or maybe like a little bit less, are occupied, and you still have plenty of empty vacant rooms. So yeah, it's kind of hard. But my one thing is, usually guests, travelers that stay at short-term rentals, they're pretty understanding. But if you're able to do it, guess what? You have an awesome opportunity to monetize and charge an early check-in fee or a late checkout fee. Because at the end of the day, this is a business. So when you can do that, that's, you're extending your service beyond the normal standard. So if check-in's at 3, but someone's there at 1, awesome. Well, there's $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. You can just do something like that. That's what hotels do. So why can't we?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I haven't, because I do always ask for late checkout hotels. That's how they would do it, is by the hour. Oh, really?
Usually by the hour up until a certain point after, like, let's say 5 o'clock, then they're like, all right, we're going to charge you half a night or a full night.
Another day. Interesting.
But yeah, up to a certain hour point. I remember it was like $30 an hour for us. And then if we were really not wanting people to do a late checkout, like we have a turn and burn, like 100% occupancy with 50 checkouts and then 100% occupancy with 50 check-ins, we'd be like, oh yeah, we're either say no, if they're really pushy, and like, I'll pay for it. And be like, all right, it's the same room night, like rate. And they're like, oh, hell no. And then
So it's called a turn and burn when you're 100%.
You got to go. Mm-hmm.
Turn and burn. Yeah, okay, so burn. If you're a host and you have one, you got another. It does feel like turn and burn.
It's a turn and burn. I like it.
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah, just burn up cleaning as fast as you possibly can.
Basically.
All right, so yeah. Will, if there are some specific episodes on your podcast that our listeners, if they have any extra time, because we do want them to listen to our show first, just going to put it out there.
Of course.
What's a podcast or two of yours that if they started to listen, like what were some where you're like, man, that was a good one. And we'll make sure to put it in the show notes so they can like go in and get a taste of your show and give them a really good dose off the rip.
Well, for your audience specifically, when you guys are on my podcast, that episode will be number one.
Good answer. 100%. Good answer. Yeah. Man, hospitality.
Right there.
Will Slickers. He's not messing around. Nice job.
They can't get enough of Annette and Sarah. So, of course, that episode will come out. But the one that I've actually been geeking over was Marilee Carr from Under the Doormat, based out in the UK.
Yeah.
So she... Like she's come across like my emails and LinkedIn, all sort of stuff the last year. And I was just like, yeah, like that's awesome brand. Like they're doing really good. But then we had an interview together and I was blown away. I was just like, it's rare that I feel an energy connection through Zoom. It's like very rare. Most especially like I'm recording, you know, 10 hours on a Tuesday. It gets a little tiring, but with her episode, I was fired up.
Can we give you a fun fact?
She's just
fact.
Done something.
She's from Columbus. She's from where we record. So we just had to give you that fun tidbit that all the ladies are from
C-Bus.
Have Columbus ties.
She's awesome. So it was just a great episode. She was part of my Vacation Rental Mastermind series.
Cool.
So it was just kind of a perfect opportunity for her to showcase what they're doing. Just not with Under the Doormat, but like Hospiria and Trusted Stays, and just like how they've been able to unite the short-term rental industry, specifically in the UK and Europe, but really industry-wide. And so that one got me really amped up. So I will definitely send you guys that link. She's amazing. Got a great understanding for professionalism and just all the other stuff that we talk about and geek out on the short-term rental side of things.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Awesome. Sarah, any other questions you have for
Will? We are just so... Well, actually for you, Will, is there anything we didn't ask you that you would love to share with our audience as it relates to hospitality and taking care of guests from check-in to check-out and beyond?
Yeah, just create an amazing brand. Find a way to tell your story. Create a destination. Like, get really creative with it. Don't just copy and paste and do it to, you know, I don't know, just to do it, you know, for side income. If you really love it, you can do so many cool things. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I love about like podcasts like yours and just hearing other hosts that are creating remarkable properties and experience. You could take something so simple and just knock it out the park, you know, connect with your community. So I think just really embrace it and check out stuff, do your research, have fun. Listen to podcasts. Bye. Yeah. Thanks for visiting.
That's
awesome.
Right. No, well, thank you so much for your time and your energy and all that you're doing for our industry. We will make sure listeners to link everything we've talked about in the show notes so that if you're driving or you're on a treadmill right now, don't you worry. We got you.
Yeah. Give Will a listen and hopefully Will will see you in Chicago. We're going to put that on our
goals. Can't wait.
Oh, there we go. Yes. All right, listeners. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.